Well, good morning, Prayer Faith. How are we today? Excellent. I love that. Well, welcome today. What a beautiful day this is. I got to tell you, we had CTI, Carpenters Tools International, here Wednesday night. They were fantastic. Those of you that were here, fantastic. 8 young people here from 18 to 25 years old performing music, a little skit they did there, and just preaching to us. They were amazing, and we took up a love offering for them. And by the way, thank you, Prayer of Faith, and the Midwest City Free Methodist Church was here also. What a very generous gift we were able to give them as a love offering. And then they spent 2 nights at our house. And what an amazing group of young people they were. I mean, just so humble and thankful and grateful for everything. But if you missed it, you missed it. And I'm sorry, because they were great. Well, today we are going to continue looking at the path of Jesus as he was heading towards a cross. We'll be looking at this through Easter and then the week after Easter as well. And turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 10 as we get there. And we'll be talking about Jesus the servant today. But I want to read a scripture reading as you're turning there. Again, we're going to Mark chapter 10. And as we're going there, I want to read out of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah chapter 15 and 16 says, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." Man, let's pray over that scripture, can't we? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that scripture that we find in your word, and how that was joy to my heart. That we, when we hear the scripture, when we see the scripture, we eat that scripture and we take it in. Lord, we ask you to bless the reading of your word. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So in Mark chapter 10, we talk about Jesus as a servant. And last week, we talked about Jesus the healer. And as we talked about Jesus the healer, I forgot the one point at the very bottom of my notes that I wanted to say. Even further on, Jesus has been crucified, he's been buried, he was resurrected, he's in heaven. And the disciples are going out and they're healing people. But it says they healed them in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's important to know that when we heal people, it may not be me. I may have the gift of healing, and some people have those gifts. But we are able to heal people in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thought, man, that one important point I wanted to bring to light last week, and I skipped that, and I apologize for that. So today, as we talk about Jesus a servant, obviously we're going to talk about serving. But are we talking about him serving or us serving? Let's find out. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice. Amen. I heard some rejoicing as we were singing worship. And I couldn't tell where it was coming from, but it sounded like some younger voices. And I was very, very moved when I heard those young voices singing. So I love that when our young people sing and when they raise their voices. And I don't want to call anybody out, Colton. But Wednesday night when that music group was here, and they were singing a song. And they were singing a song about the rugged cross. And they weren't singing the old rugged cross. And Andrew probably thought, what's he doing pacing back and forth looking at this monitor? And I thought, I wanted to go pick up that cross and just carry it across the stage. And I thought, well, the song will be over and I'll look silly. You know, pride will look silly, right? And I'd look silly anyway, so I don't need to worry about that. But then our young person, Colton, in the middle of the song, stood up. And I said, well, that's all I need. I'm not going to be outdone by a guy that has no pride to stand up in the middle of a song. He just was full of energy and he couldn't contain it anymore. And I picked up that cross and drug it across. And later I said, man, what was the deal? I said, man, I couldn't sit any longer. And I think sometimes we do that, but our pride gets in the way and says, but if I stand up, I'll look silly. And he didn't care. And thank you for that. Thank you for that response to the Holy Spirit moving you to do something. And you responded to that. So that was great. As we talked about last week, Jesus a healer. Jesus is there healing people. The disciples are able to heal people. people were being healed and calling out. And then other people were bringing them to them. And remember last week I said, man, if you don't have friends that will pick you up, put you on a bed and carry you to the healer or to the master, if you will, and they won't put you on a bed and lower you down through a roof, you got to find some new friends. So today, let's read Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to be in verse 35 through 45. And it says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Well, what a great way to start going to the Lord, right? Lord, do for me whatever I ask you. And before we think, oh, we're so far from that, think about our prayers sometimes. Lord, answer these prayers in whatever I ask you. Now again, the Bible says, whatever you ask in my name, and if you ask these things and they be my will, I will answer them. But it says, man, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, grant us that we may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your glory. Now, I'm sure the one asking was thinking, let me be on your right because that's the most elevated spot. And the one on the left is a little less elevated. And Jesus said to them, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said to him, we are able. And he said to them, you will indeed drink the cup that I drink. And with the baptism I am baptized, will be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Now listen up. It says, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life, a ransom for many. For who? For many. He didn't give money. He gave his life as a ransom. The book of Matthew tells us that it was their mother that came to Jesus asking that. Probably at the prodding of the sons. Mom, please ask Jesus this. Now this just says that James and John came. But Matthew again, the mother came asking Jesus that. When we look at different groups, different size groups, different settings, oftentimes there's that jockeying for position. Where will I sit? I want to be known amongst the tall, top people. Not the tall, but the head people. I want to be known among them. Is it possible that I could sit up above them and near them and with them and be in their circle and be in their group? Now, sometimes it's for good reason. We have information that they can use and we can be helpful. And other times it is for our own selfish ambition. I've been there, I know. It's for our own selfish ambition. When we go and try and elevate ourselves, we've got to check our motives. The Bible also tells us, don't go set yourself at the head table, church. Because when you do that and you're in the wrong spot, someone's going to have to ask you to move down. And that's a little embarrassing. Rather be down at the table below and let someone invite you up to the higher place. In verse 44, whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. Ooh, I don't want to be a slave of anyone. Slave has a very negative connotation, but when we read it in this setting and in this passage and in the scripture, to be slave of all means subjection. Submission. But that's not the same as being in bondage. Okay, does that make sense? When we submit to Jesus Christ, we are slave of Him. We submit our body to Him. But we're no longer in bondage. We're set free. And that's what He says. He wants us to serve others. Now, today, I'm not talking about, I'm just looking for people to serve in the church and go do this. And yes, there's always lawns to be mowed and edges to be edged and weeds to be weed-eated and all that stuff. There's people to serve. There's eggs to stuff for Easter. There's eggs to hide for Easter. There's chairs to be moved and tables to be brought in. I'm not just talking about that. I'm talking about as we go out day to day and we serve and do things for others. They don't ask us to. We're not required to. We just feel good about serving others. And we want to do these things. And we say, man, I want to be slave of all. I want to subject myself to them. I'm not in bondage to do that, though. I am free to go out and do these things for other people, to bring joy to them. And then the last verse there that we read, Jesus paid a ransom with His life. Turn over to Luke real quick, Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, the tail end of that. Verse 46 through 48. And we're really reading the same thing, and it says basically the same thing in Matthew. Again, Matthew just says it's his mother that said it. Their mothers that said, went to Jesus and asked for that. But this says, then a dispute, in Luke chapter 9, verse 46, then a dispute arose among them as to which of them would be the greatest. Whew, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, man. Can I be the top dog, Jesus? Oh, man, you've missed something in that following with Him. But so do we. So why should we be surprised? Dispute arose among them, which would be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a little child and set him before Him. And He said to them, whoever receives this little child in My name receives Me. And whoever receives Me receives Him who sent Me. For he who is least among you all, he who is least among you all will be great. Okay, same thing we just said, Adam. But if we look right before that, what does it say in those scriptures before that? Jesus again is predicting His death. Hey guys, I'm going to die soon. I'm not going to be with you. It's going to be a horrible death. You don't understand yet. But I'm going to die. You guys hear that? Jesus, with you gone, which one of us is going to be greatest? It's just like they bypass right over it and immediately go to their selfish needs to say, which one of us is going to be greatest? I'm going to die. I'm going to the cross. I've just told you, in other words, that are you going to drink from the same cup as Me? Be baptized with the same baptism as Me? And then as soon as I tell you I'm going through this, you want to know who's going to be elevated and exalted into that right-hand position and then the less desired one of the left-hand position. Somewhere in there, we're missing the serving part. And as we talk about serving one another, we talk about serving Jesus through and by serving one another. Now let's flip to one more passage here in John chapter 13. And as we look at John chapter 13, this to me is one of the most powerful things that Jesus does. One of the most powerful examples that He gives. And He gives us as people, and He gives me as a shepherd, and as a leader, one of the most powerful things. In John chapter 13, verse 1. And by the way, Jesus knows where He's going. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hand, that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside His garments, took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet." This is the same guy that was born in a manger. He didn't come riding into town on a big giant white horse. But when He came back in, it was on a donkey. And He, the Lord of all, began to wash His disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. Then He said to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Him, then He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Him, "Lord, are You washing My feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." And Peter said to Him, "You shall never wash My feet." But Jesus said, "If I do not wash your feet, you have no part with Me." And Simon Peter said to Him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him and responded back, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For He knew who would betray Him, therefore He said, 'You are not all clean.' So when He had washed their feet, taken His garments, and sat down again, He said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you say, "Well, for so I am." If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have. Given you this example, you should do to others as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." As a shepherd over the sheep, Pastor Eric and I are called to serve you. We are here for you. We don't want to burden you with this stuff. We are the shepherds of this flock. And in the same example, we are here to serve you. We don't have to do the foot washing at Easter time. Yeah, I know that. Never done it before till a couple years ago. That is one of the most meaningful things I do every year, is to be able to wash the feet of the congregation. Allows me and Pastor Eric to humble ourselves. And last year, I remember we specifically wore our prayer stoles and our crosses. And as we got ready to wash the feet, we took those off and laid them here. And that was symbolic to say, this is the role that we are. But never too much or too high to take and remove those and humble ourselves and wash the feet of the congregation. Look at verse 7 again. Jesus said to them, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." And I think that's where we lie most of the time, where we sit most of the time. "God, I don't understand this." He says, "Yeah, I know. If you would listen a little more, you'd hear me talking to you. But right now, you don't understand it." We go and we go and we go. And we don't understand. But I think he tells us in multiple places, when and if we read his word, it starts to come alive to us. And it starts breaking down the barrier of him and us. I mean, really, I think the only thing he says, "Nothing can separate you from my love." And I think, well, there's no separation, but there's misunderstanding because we don't know. Because we're not listening. We haven't read. We haven't studied. You don't understand it, but you will. You call me teacher and Lord. He says, check, got that right. But if me as the teacher and the Lord have washed your feet, you also ought to do this for one another. And he says right there in verse 15, "For I have given you an example." Guys, we don't have to figure out an example. He's given us one. "I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." And he says the same thing with a commandment when he tells us to love one another. "As I have loved you, forgive one another as I have forgiven you." "Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master." And we'll close with this, verse 17. "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Now, that may not be sinking in for all of you. "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." I gave you a little hint there with some emphasis. Do them. James 1:25 tells us to do these things. Don't just hear them. And he tells us right here, don't just know them. So we can't just know and we can't just hear. Both from James and here says, but blessed are those people that do these things. That they put these things into practice and into action. We can't just have this wealth of knowledge and understanding and hearing. And we can listen to 1,000 different preachers. I listen to preaching all day long and all night long. And I know the Bible inside and out. Man, when will you start acting on it and putting these things into practice? You may know people like that. They can quote Scripture, but they're the meanest people you've ever met. They have religious stuff all over their home, but they're the meanest people you have met and talked to. And their language doesn't line up with their faith. Something got askew in their faith walk and their faith journey. And I remember Dr. Johnson asked one time several questions. And he said, now what is the next step in your faith journey? In your faith walk, what do you need to do to put this into action? We talked last week, man, if you need healing for whatever, just simply raise your hand. Because I know when we have opportunity to come forward, and thank you, by the way, for saying, man, as we say, come to the altar, come up. But remember last week, those people that needed healing did not let pride hold them in their same sick place and ways. They had to get up and they had to move to Jesus. And some people may have said, I'm taking you to Jesus. And other people may have said, take me to Jesus. Put me on a bed and take me. And some may have said, I'm going to put you on a bed and take you. But that's where we get stuck, in our seat. They begged him. Last week's scriptures, they begged him. The next scripture, they begged him. The next scripture, they begged him. They ran to him. They pressed in. They lowered the guy through the roof. We didn't read that last week, but they lowered the guy through the roof for healing. They stopped at nothing. The blind man sitting on the side of the road cried out to Jesus. And he had a group of naysayers saying, shh, that's Jesus Christ you're calling out to for healing. You're calling and yelling at the healer for healing. He said, yeah. Jesus, Son of David, heal me. Cried out even louder. He didn't say, oh, crud, you're right. Let me go just sit here on the corner and beg some more for the next umpteen years of my life. He said, I've got opportunity to be free. And I'm going to cry out. You know what? I'm going to do this today. I'm going to give you opportunity to cry out today. You can cry out if you want, but I'm just saying, I'm going to give you opportunity to come for healing. And I just want you to pretend this, that this little edge all the way around here is a hem of Jesus' garment. And if you need healing, I want you to come up and I just want you to hold on to that. And I want you to press into that on faith that Jesus Christ will take your action and work on your healing. And don't think if I go up there, they're going to think I'm broken. Oh, they'll think maybe I'm getting a divorce. Oh, they'll think I'm into pornography. Oh, they'll think I'm into drugs. Good Lord, quit judging one another. And don't worry if they are judging you anyway. And it could be you're dealing with those things anyway. Come up and press on the hem of His garment and get healing. Let's do that at this time. If you want, just close your eyes, bow your head, do what you want. But for the rest, while we play some light music up there, just come press in. And do not let pride hold you in that seat. Don't go out of here today the same way you've been sitting here for the last umpteen years possibly in church. Press in today. I need healing myself. Press in. There were crowds at Jesus' feet all around Him, thousands. And they pressed in and they made their way. Press in. If it is full, press in. Young people, if you're in your seats, press in today. press in if you need to. There's time. If by chance you cannot press in, would you raise your hand so that we may come to you and we may press on to you, and we'll just say you need to be lowered through the roof.
The Lord has been working on me this whole time about the power of prayer and talking about prayer and dropping our pride. We all have something inside that we need prayer for, you know, whether you're still sitting out there or not, about dropping your pride and letting it go. Prayer is an act of obedience. It's standing up and saying that, you know, I declare that you're Lord. I know you're Lord. I have the faith. I can stand for it. I can come for this. Like Adam said, even if you can't come up and pray, let us come to you and pray. But drop your pride, drop your fear, come forward. Be proud, be a part of this family. Let us pray for you. Let us pray together. Let us hold you up.
Amen. Amen.
God has put it on my heart for the last couple of weeks about praying to have the veil pulled off of our eyes and off of our ears, and showing me scripture and putting it on my heart, and I have cried and cried over it, not just for myself but for my loved ones and even for people I don't know. It's so easy for me to love people, and I don't want to see anybody not have Jesus. I don't want to see anybody miss out on the salvation.
Oh, amen. Amen.
And God, right now I just ask that you pull the veil off of our eyes and off of our ears, that we might see you. And Jesus, please reintroduce yourself to us again and again, and whatever it takes. I pray that the Holy Spirit will manifest himself in our lives. While we can see and while we can hear, because otherwise I feel like it's not fair. As Pastor was reading the scripture, it says, when Peter said, "No, you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me." For so many years I didn't understand what that meant. And if you're still confused about what that means, it is pride, but it's like when you go to Jesus and he says, "I have what you need." But you're like, "No, I can't burden you with that." And you tell God, "No, you don't want his healing," and you didn't mean anything by it, but you just told him no. And I'm going to stop telling God no. And I hope that you can too.
Amen. I feel God taking this church body to a different level, and I know I've talked about that for a while. But I feel he's taking us to a different level through obedience and through understanding. I want you guys to hang out up here for just a minute.
I think our church is coming to a different level. Like last week, I gave Mark a call. He asked me, he said, "Did you go Wednesday night to see the kids up there perform?" I said, "Yes." He said, Are they still praying for me up there?" I said, "Yes, we are, Mark. We are, Mark. You have lots of people who love you, lots of people who are praying for you." And so as a church family, you can see today that it is time for us to come and pray for each other, pray for ourselves. Pray for those who we love in our lives. If you're not hurting today, if you're not needing in prayer, if you're satisfied with yourself in Christ, then there's someone in your life that does need healing. There's someone in your life that is hurting, that you know of, that you can lift up this morning. You don't have to come up here to the front to do it. You can do it where you're at. But the point is, don't give up, because as a servant of Christ, you have a mission, and that's to preach the gospel. And the way that you preach the gospel may be in just lifting up people to those around you who are special and who you love and hold dearly. And that they may come to the healing knowledge and power of Jesus Christ in their lives. So today, as we've come to the altar, and today as we've prayed, it's an act of faith, an act of stepping forward. So Father, this morning as we come to you and we touch your hem, we touch your garment in faith through our spirit, to the spirit that you've given us of closeness to you. We ask for healing. We ask for mercy. We ask for compassion on our lives. We ask for love, that we are able to show the love of Christ to others who are hurting, who are in need of healing. But Father, as we come today and as stepped forward in faith, whether up here at the altar or in our hearts where we sit, are seated today, we come to you asking for healing and to make us a servant and to actively seek out those who are hurting and to lift them up before you, even if we have to carry them,
yes,
to your altar in our hearts and before your throne. Lord, we ask your compassion again on us today, and mercy and healing of our bodies through the blessed power and the blood and the mighty blood and the power that it holds, your son Jesus.
Amen. I want you guys to stay up here for just a minute, because I want you to envision this, what we read from last week. Austin, turn that up just a little bit. But it said, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, and they anchored there. And when they came out from the boat, immediately people recognized them, and they ran through the whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick, to wherever they heard he was. When he entered into villages, cities, and the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces, and they begged him that they may not just touch his garment, that they may just touch his garment. And I want you to envision this. You just found out Jesus Christ is coming, and I want you to come forward. We have a couple more that just came up now. Take an opportunity to still come up and press into his garment as though you just heard he was here today, and press in. We just want to take another minute to allow you to come forward. Don't think if you come forward for a minute, we're all going to sit down and leave you. Don't miss this. Jesus Christ is coming to your town. He's coming to a town near you, and you just heard about it. And you say, this may be the only opportunity I have. And I've got some things to release. I have some things to lay at his feet. I have some healing that needs to be done, and I've got to get to him. And I'm asking for pride to be removed. I'm asking for pride to be removed from your backside that holds you in the seat. Many people left his presence, and they left him and were made well. Another part of the scripture said some left, and they left him and they left following him. And I know there's some that just for whatever reason, you just aren't there yet. And I get that. And that's okay. I want to take just a minute. I'm going to pray over you. Heavenly Father, today, those people that are still in their seats that may be okay, Lord, we thank you for that. For those that have reasons that they're not up here touching the hem of your garment, Lord, I just pray for them, Lord. They're okay. They're okay, but I ask you to reach them where they are. You want to see action in those things, but I want you to still reach them and acknowledge, Lord, that you see them, you hear them. And on the inside, they may be crying out, and that voice is not able to come out yet. But on the inside, you hear them crying out. And as the psalm said, as David said, Lord, hear my cries as I cry out to you. Incline your ear to me. He is rich in his mercy. His mercy is new every day. He is rich in his mercy. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place today. You're here already. We ask you to continue moving about these people and in this place. Lord, as we come towards Easter, to understand that full price, the ransom that was paid for us. Lord, let today be the day that you set a fire down in our soul, just as the song says. Help us to desire, to hunger for your word as we read earlier today in Jeremiah 15. Your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Lord, respond to your people today. Jesus' name, amen. You are welcome to stay here at the altar. We'll continue on with a little song here. If you're a visitor, I would like to meet you. If you'll just meet me over to the side here. If you need specific prayer, get with Pastor Eric or myself or someone, and we'll go pray with you. Have a blessed week. Get in God's Word today, and we'll see you Wednesday night. God bless you.